Richie Neal, in office since 1989. That doesn't seem like a long time. I remember 89 very well. but for others, it does seem like a long time. Richie Neal, you're the brightest guy I know about Massachusetts politics and almost everything else. So let me ask you about this. Right now, I saw a poll which said that Bernie Sanders was actually leading Hillary Clinton in Massachusetts. What do you make of that?
Well, I suspect that that may be accurate. If you recall, 8 years ago, then-Senator Clinton won Massachusetts by 15 points, which was a very convincing a victory, but not to miss the point that there is proximity to Vermont, where Senator Sanders would have immediate access to the media markets across much of western and central Massachusetts. But he also, I think, in fairness to him, he has scratched a real series of emotions with the American people. And I think that, to be frank, that it's largely going to be a contest that may well be decided by the end of March, because I think even though the contests in Colorado, Minnesota, Vermont, and Massachusetts could either be close or have Sanders victories, the SEC primaries will be substantially decided in Clinton's favor on the same day. And I think that she'll be, at that time, just coming out of what should be a 20-point victory, at least, in South Carolina. And what happens now is it becomes a battle of attrition, and that means the battle over delegates. And even as Senator Sanders has had a big victory in New Hampshire, and Senator Sanders has actually pulled very well in the caucuses in Iowa, the delegate count is still about 570-270. And I think that you'll see that she'll begin to pick up a lot more delegates on Tuesday. And then as you move on in the primary season, I think the calendar once again becomes very favorable to her.
So says you and the New York Times.
I'm in good company.
who am I to doubt that? I did want to ask you about something we're getting a lot of mail about. You know, we get a lot of conspiracy mail here, chemtrails and this and that, and people who say that we blew up the World Trade Center. It makes me crazy, to be honest with you. But now we're hearing about the accursed superdelegates. You want to tell us about that, who they are and what that's all about?
Well, superdelegates, actually, it's a manifestation of what began in the aftermath of what happened in the Democratic Party in 1968.
Yep.
And it became the argument that then Vice President Humphrey had not run in one single primary, but he was about to become the nominee of the Democratic Party. And the reaction to that, based upon a very bad convention, then turned to what we called the McGovern-Fraser Commission in 1972. And Alan, I was actually part of that and testified on that at the time. I was a very big supporter of George McGovern at the time. And the idea was to try to figure out how to open up the Democratic Party to a kind of a more collegial atmosphere to welcome in newer groups and newer people that wanted to join. The problem was, after 1972, we had a debacle in the national election, and Senator McGovern won but Massachusetts, one state. So then, by the time we got to Jimmy Carter in 76, the argument became, in those intervening 4 years again through McGovern-Fraser, what to do about those who have what we might note as a sustained interest in the nominating process, those individuals who are elected, those who are the people like the town committees and city committees across the state that give meaning to elections in between elections. So the idea was that you would be able to offset any emotional rapidity that was taking the Democratic Party in the wrong direction. So the safety valve became this establishment of superdelegates, congressmen, senators, governors, and mayors. Those individuals who had actually gotten elected under the Democratic banner would then be granted a nominating seat at the convention. And there was supposed to be a balance. And I think, by and large, that balance has pretty much worked. And if you recall that even in the contest between President Obama and Secretary Clinton, that the superdelegates pretty much split, and it was President Obama's ability, I think, to do a better on-the-ground campaign that actually allowed him to prevail. So you have proportional representation based on congressional districts, then based upon the primary result. The delegates are apportioned. And then you have the superdelegates in an effort to balance what has happened on primary day. And Republicans are, after March 15th, they move to winner take all. We, after the campaign for the California primary in 1972, we moved to proportional representation.
One thing I heard about the superdelegates is that if there's an overwhelming, for example, if Bernie Sanders were, he's not doing it yet, but if Bernie Sanders were to be proved by far the most popular on-the-ground candidate, that the superdelegates, even those who had been sort of identified with Hillary Clinton, would be likely to support Bernie. Do you think that's true?
I don't think it's necessarily likely to happen. That's the better answer.
Well, that's
but
a good answer.
I think
yeah.
that you make an important point, and that is, would you be obligated to review the election if all of a sudden there was this extraordinary stampede to Senator Sanders? And then I think the obvious answer to that is yes. You'd have to consider that.
So are you a superdelegate?
I'm a superdelegate.
Yeah. And I guess everybody in the Democratic Party who are congressmen are.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And I do remember that very well, that there were people, and I don't know if Teddy Kennedy was one of them, but that there were people who should have been at that convention who couldn't go because they'd been excluded because they didn't run as delegates.
Well, not only was it that complicated, but I was a delegate for Ted Kennedy in 1980. And if you remember, we tried to change the rules at the convention.
And what did you try to do?
People who had been obligated to all of a sudden no longer be obligated. It didn't work very well, and President Carter prevailed.
Right. So do you think that when you compare the Republican system of winner-take-all and proportional PR, proportional representation for the Democrats, that the Democrats have it right?
Well, I do think we do have it right. And I was on the other side of that argument, you should know, in 1972.
Uh-huh.
Because then former Vice President Humphrey protested the result of the California primary, which McGovern had clearly won. And the argument that they made was that since they had received, for example, 40% of the vote, they deserve 40% of the delegates. And McGovern's argument was that if at that moment, if you began that, then you'd have to go back and reassess all of those states. And not to miss the point that not only would have created chaos, but it may well have jeopardized McGovern's nomination.
So the downside is if tomorrow the Democrats were to adopt the Republican model, it would do what?
Oh, well, I think it would give Clinton big victories in the Southeastern Conference primaries. And then you have a caucus get together in Colorado. And I think that Clinton is still likely to win Colorado. Minnesota, Massachusetts, and Vermont, I think, are very uncertain for her.
I got a minute and 24 seconds. What are Clinton's bete noires? What are her weaknesses?
Well, I think it's clearly that Senator Sanders has scratched emotions with the issue of income inequality in America. And I think whether you're for Clinton or you're not for Clinton, no matter who you're for, yeah. Republican or Democrat, there has been a greater concentration of wealth in America. And I think part of it is because as we moved away from the old manufacturing economy, the greater fortunes have been rendered to those who have gone to Wall Street. There is no question of it. The problem is that it's also complicated by, again, skill set. It's complicated by globalization and technology. And I think that we need to address the issue of income inequality in America and have for a much more egalitarian undertaking of the goods of what America every day produces. So I'm of the opinion that it's a complicated question, but you can't miss the point. It has happened.
We've been talking with my congressman, Richie Neal from Massachusetts 1st District, a Democrat and one of the most powerful people in the House of Representatives. Richie, love talking to you. You're always so clear and you really teach me something every time. So thank you so much.
Always good to be with you, Alan.